chapter of Deuteronomy and the chapter 33. And we're going to read at the end of the chapter a few verses. Where our model text for this year is found. Before we read and before we come to the Word, we'll just bow for prayer. Let's all just bow quietly and still our hearts in God's presence and look to the Lord for His help. O God, our Father, we pray that Thou wilt abide with us and Thou wilt bless us now as we come to consider the Scriptures of truth. Bring them with power to our souls. And Lord, visit us in this time that we spend in the study of Thy Word. May every heart hear the voice of God. May every soul be refreshed and renewed. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake and glory. Amen. Deuteronomy 33 and reading at verse 24. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. And God will bless the reading of this His own infallible truth. Now my text for you as a church is found at the end of verse 25, where it says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. This chapter, of course, contains the words of Moses, man of God, when he was actually facing death. His death is described for us in the following chapter. These, therefore, are the last words of Moses. And the words of our text today are specifically the final words of all those that he said to the 12 tribes. He concludes his great parable here, his great discourse here in verses 26 through to the end by generalizing. But the whole way through the chapter he's been speaking to each tribe individually. And therefore at the end of 25 you have his final words to this tribe of Asher, and they are therefore his last words as far as the actual blessing of the particular tribes is concerned. These words, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. Now the last words of any man are of great value. And certainly that is true of these words of Moses. They were spoken by him, of course, as a prophet. He was the greatest of the prophets. We're told in this very next chapter that he is the man whom the Lord knew face to face. Those are remarkable words. You think about them. Very often we think about a person or speak of a person knowing God face to face. But it says there in this final chapter that the Lord knew Moses face to face. And it really brings home the intimacy of the fellowship and the friendship that there were between Moses, the man of God, and his God. So they're spoken by a prophet, a man who lived close to the Lord. These final words of Moses as a whole possess an enduring preciousness, presenting some great truths to the minds of God's people as we read through them, and especially these words here at the end of verse 25, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now, on the very surface, those words remind us of a number of truths. For example, they remind us of the brevity of life, because it says here, as thy days, not as thy years, but as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Our lives are measured in days. You'll find that frequently to be the case in God's word, as men's lives are recorded, as we read of events in their lives and situations that they faced. You'll discover that God very carefully writes of their lives and their whole course through this world in days, not even in months, never mind years. He speaks of them with regard to days. And those men of God caught that, because they realized that they were here for only a little time. Whenever Jacob was asked by Pharaoh his age, he said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. The days of the years of my pilgrimage. And then you'll find in Psalm 90, Moses, who is speaking right here in Deuteronomy 34, Moses in Psalm 90 said this, the days of our years are 70 years. And I could draw out of Scripture many other quotes to show you that men of God measured their lives in this particular way, simply because they realized that even the longest life is but a flash in the light of eternity. And you and I need to be reminded, and we are reminded by our text today, that our days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They are swifter than a post. We spend our years as a tale that is told. How short, how brief our lives actually are. The Lord says here, as thy days, to remind us the brevity of life, but he also reminds us here of the frailty of life. Because he says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As we are going to see today, the strength that's in view there is strength that is supplied divinely. It's strength that is given by the Lord himself. And the inference immediately is that since we need strength from God for our days, for our short little sojourn in this world, then, my dear friend, our lives indeed are frail, marked with weakness, marked with that inability to do anything. If we were left to ourselves, and if God ever took his hand off us, how frail we would actually be, how weak and how incapable of doing anything we would find ourselves to become. In that 90th Psalm again, you remember how Moses went on to say of man concerning his lifespan, that if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. And what he's telling us there is that even a man lives on and outlives other men, yet even then he's nothing but frail and weak regarding his existence and his constitution. And everything's marked by labor and sorrow and by frailty. And therefore, by this reminder that you and I left to ourselves are absolutely nothing. But how good it is that when we think about these matters, the brevity of life, the frailty of life, that we're able to rejoice. As David puts it in Psalm 103, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And therefore, when we come today to our text, we have the Lord promising to his people, whose lives are so short and so frail, and marked by many infirmities, and marked by many and varied drawbacks throughout our days. Isn't it good that God says to us today, as thy strength, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Now this is the verse that I want to leave with you for 2005. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. It's a wonderful statement A statement of great depth and meaning, great encouragement to us in our lives, in our work, in our service for God as we think about this year lying before us and what it will bring, what it will mean. Uncharted paths as far as we are concerned. Events no doubt are going to come that will take us by surprise. And there will be sorrows and there will be heartaches and there will be battles and there will be challenges. This will be our lot undoubtedly as we enter into and go through another year in the will of God. And what we need is a word from the Lord. And God has given this word to me to bring to you. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. These words were spoken here by Moses concerning Asher. You may know that the name Asher, this particular son of Jacob, that name Asher means happy or blessed. And truly we're being shown, therefore, that it is indeed a blessed and a happy situation to have God say to your soul, as your days, so shall your strength be. My friend, that's a wonderful blessing, a happy position, to be the recipient of strength from God, strength from the Lord, and that grace that He promises for every day. There's nothing more happy than that for the child of God. Among all the happinesses that we may receive from the Lord, that every day there will be strength. Now notice with me that this strength that's promised here is primarily spiritual. It's not a promise that physical or even mental strength will be with the saints all their days. Our bodies, in many cases, are beset with infirmities and weaknesses. And sickness, and our minds, as time goes by, lose a lot of their faculty and their power and their ability as the onset of years continues. And every one of us here today, from the youngest to the oldest, is indeed on the decline. As soon as we are born, we begin to go down. When we reach a peak at a certain age, and there is a standard peak for human beings around the age of 20, actually. And when a person reaches that age, that individual is at his or her peak, physically, mentally, and from then on it's downhill. Even sometimes before we get to that point, the downhill has started. And therefore this promise, as thy days, so shall thy strength be, does not mean that you and I are going to be the embodiment of perfect bodily health and perfect mental strength. And all that goes with that during 2005 or at any other particular time that we care to think of today. No, this promise here has to do with spiritual things. And the glorious thing is, brethren and sisters, that even when we feel and experience the other weaknesses in the other areas of our lives, here is strength that not only is promised to us, but may be enjoyed by us, and thank God may even increase through the midst of all the rest that comes our way. Look at Psalm 92 for a moment, where the Lord speaks to older people. You might say, well, I'll not turn there because I'm not in that group. But I'd like you to turn because you'll be there someday, if not already. Psalm 92, verse 13. It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Listen to this. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That's a tremendous statement for those who are in the eventide of life. And you may be there, and or you may feel yourself to be there, whatever your case is. And you may feel today that in body and in mind there's a weakening process going on. And yet I want you to see, dear child of God, that according to the promise of God in our text today, as thy days, so shall thy strength be spiritually. And you can bring forth fruit for God in your old age and in your eventide of life. And may you set yourself to pursue that. Every child of God here It may be in that particular bracket you take that word from the Lord that right through to the end of your days you may be under God's hand in blessing and in power and in usefulness and in service, bringing forth fruit. Let me tell you something, that while retirement comes from secular work and while there is the onset of that weakness and that diminishing capacity in life, yet, my dear friend, by the grace of God, every one of us here today, and especially you who are in that stage of life, may keep on bringing forth fruit. May that be your goal. This is primarily spiritual fruit. Now, go back to where our text is found, and you will find that this strength, being primarily spiritual fruit or spiritual strength, is shown to us in the previous terms in the blessing of Asher. His blessing is fivefold. As you'll find when you start at verse 24 and run on into verse 25, there are five statements made there concerning Asher. Five particular points are made by the Lord through Moses concerning Asher. And you'll find that the words of our text, the fifth one, are really based on everything else that precedes them in the previous four statements. And when you look here, you'll find that Moses is praying this for Asher. And therefore, this statement of promised strength, so as thy days, so shall thy strength be, is based on the pleas of Moses in the opening statements of this great blessing. And therefore, what you have in these words is indeed spiritual strength. And it's experienced and it's enjoyed in the light of what is said there in the opening statements. Look with me and you'll notice the seeking of this spiritual strength. It says in verse 24, the opening words, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children." Here is prayer, here's a seeking for spiritual strength under this language, "Let Asher be blessed with children." Remember something, that in the physical realm, you will discover in Scripture that the begetting of children is often spoken of in the context of receiving strength from God. Genesis 49 and verse 3, Jacob's on his deathbed. He's also blessing the 12 tribes. And in that verse he speaks of Reuben, and he says this, "Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength." Notice here that in the Hebrew mind, the begetting of children was equated with strength. And in the spiritual realm, in context, the same is also true. Because that's why I'm looking at these words. Going back to our text. Verse 24. "Let Asher be blessed with children." In that there is a request for a strengthening of things, a strengthening of the work of God and the cause of God by the birth of children. That is, by the spiritual birth that God gives. And my friend, that birth can only come about as the Lord gives the strength for it to happen. Turn over to Acts 11 for a moment, just to look there at Barnabas. Because in his experience here, you will see this illustrated. It speaks of spiritual birth here, the conversion of souls. And I'm saying to you, that's what's in view in those words that refer to Asher. Let Asher be blessed with children. Spiritual children, that is, a numerous progeny. And brothers and sisters, that's what we would want to have, is it not, in our work, to see many come into the kingdom of God, born of God. But that can only happen in the context of God-giving strength. So, in Acts 11, you read of Barnabas, and it says something of him in verse 24, this great man of God. Acts 11 and verse 24, "He was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost, and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." I want you to remember that reference, because it does show to us clearly that Barnabas, a man with strength, a man with spiritual power, was a man in whose life many people through him were added to the Lord. Do you see here that Barnabas was a soul winner? My dear friend, that's the ultimate purpose and goal of all church life, all prayer meetings, all worship services, all outreach ministry. It is that we will be used to see much people added to the Lord. That's the ultimate goal of the work of God. That's why the church exists, that she will be used to gather in those for whom Christ died. But you see, for that to happen, we need this strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Do we want days of being blessed with children, that is, with the new birth of souls? Oh, then, brethren and sisters, not only recognize that it can only happen as God gives the strength, but let's begin to seek it as Moses sought it for Asher. Let Asher be blessed with children. If you think carefully about this, I'm sure some of you may already have thought about it. Throughout the scriptures, you will read time and time again of men and women both getting before God to wrestle with God, even for the birth of physical children. We read of Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, how she wrestled with God. We read of Isaac in Genesis chapter 25, how he wrestled with God and he besought the Lord for his wife that she might have a child. And then look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. I want you to look at this verse in the context of what we're saying here, because we're thinking today about the fact that this strength that's for us, for our days, is spiritual strength, and we find that it is expounded for us in the very setting of our text, and it's therefore to be sought, this spiritual strength, especially in the context of bringing forth a seed unto God, seeing people saved. Now listen to Hebrews 11 verse 11. And notice what it says there concerning Sarah. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. My dear friend, it says that Sarah received strength, and this of course had to do with the birth of Isaac. She was barren, but notice that her barrenness was overcome as she wrestled with God in prayer. I firmly believe that. It wasn't merely a matter that God sent the angel and told Abraham and then Sarah, you're going to have a son. There was more to it. We're showing it here. It says she received strength. That means she asked for it. She heard the word. A child is to be born. A child from her own womb. And it seems humanly impossible. But what does she do? She gets before God and she begins to wrestle with God. And she receives strength to bring forth seed. And there you have an illustration, my friend, of what is needed in the work of God throughout the year to come. Men and women, God says, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And this is a spiritual strength, and it's especially connected with the fruitfulness of the church and the spiritual birth of souls. And we're seeing in these verses, they're all related, that it will only happen when God's people begin to wrestle with God. I challenge you with that. I pause to let it sink in. There's never a soul born again unless there has been a wrestling with God for that spiritual birth. Unless there has been the recognition, as Isaiah puts it, the children are come to the birth, but there's no strength to bring forth. There are souls attending our very meetings, brethren and sisters, and I firmly believe as I watch them and even hear some of the things that they say, that they're right up there at the very verge of the birth. It seems there's no strength to bring them forth. I wonder why. Do you wonder, why does that preacher keep mentioning the prayer meetings? Do you ever say to yourself, why does he mention many times, emphasize many times, the prayer meetings of the church. Because, my dear friend, a church without prayer is not a church. It's just an empty shell. It's just a lie. It's a big pretense. And I tell you today from this pulpit as your minister, if there's one thing I dread, it is that the prayer meeting declines. Because when the prayer meeting declines, the whole life of the work declines. God has been filling up these seats. I must be very honest with you. I have noted in recent months, for some reason, that as the seats are filling up, that room is in the decline. And if that's the case, it won't be too long till this declines. Because there's no church that can continue on memories. I challenge you today, my friend. I challenge my elders. I challenge my committee men, my Sunday school teachers, every worker in this church, and every member in this church. With this truth, that there's no strength to bring forth unless we wrestle with God in prayer. That's the secret. That's what's in view here. That is what is being said in this wonderful text. Yes, we need strength for our days, but it's spiritual strength, and it's obtained through prayer. Look as well quickly, because our time is moving on. Notice what it says then in the next petition in verse 24. As we think of this strength that's mainly spiritual, let him be acceptable to his brethren. And the word acceptable there, and this again is part of the whole prayer, you see, that leads up to the great statement, as thy day, so shall thy strength be. And therefore we're seeing right now what I've called the sweetness of spiritual strength. It says, let him be acceptable to his brethren. And the word acceptable there is a word that indicates someone who's a source of pleasure. It emphasizes the concept of having a pleasant spirit. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. And therefore the prayer is that Asher and the child of God, the blessed man like Asher, is someone who to whom others will respond. Someone who's acceptable to his brethren. And what we're seeing here is simply this, that where there is spiritual power or spiritual strength in a man's life or in a church's life, there is a sweet spirit with that. Let me tell you, my friend, spiritual power is not consistent with harshness and coldness and bitterness. It's always consistent and compatible with a sweet spirit. That's what this means. Let him be sweet to his brethren. When God gives this spiritual strength and power, this is the way things will be. Now, again, I want to take you back to Barnabas, because Barnabas is one of the loveliest characters, in my mind's way of thinking, in all of the Bible. And you will see this man who had the power, we noticed this earlier, but you'll see this man also had this sweetness. He had this strength, but he had also this sweetness about him. A very acceptable man to his brethren. Look at it here, or Acts 11. It says in verse 22 through to 24, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. He was a man with spiritual power, no doubt, as you see in these verses. But in these verses you'll see something else. Barnabas was a man with a sweet spirit, a man to whom others were attracted, a man who was liked in the true sense of the word. If you go back to the first reference to Barnabas in the book of Acts, you'll go back to Acts chapter 4, I think it is. And look with me there in that chapter at verse 36. Acts 4, verse 36. It says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now the thing I want you to see here is this man's name. His name was Joseph formerly, but the other men, the apostles, gave him this new name, Barnabas, which means the son of consolation. Now why did they give him that name? Because in Barnabas they saw the nature signified by the name they gave him. They called him the son of consolation because he was a man who was of the ability and of the character to console others and to encourage others. He brought a sweetness. He brought this tenderness with him into the work of God and into the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll discover that in that name, Son of Consolation, there's a direct reference to the Holy Spirit. Because the word consolation is the very same word that's translated comforter as a title of the Spirit of God in John 14 and John 15. And we often sing the old hymn, "The Comforter is come." And my friend, the Holy Ghost is the comforter. But here's the point. No man has spiritual power unless he has the Holy Ghost. But when he has the Holy Ghost filling him, he will also be a consoler. He will bring with him a spirit of sweet harmony, fellowship, a desire to promote the work of God and to further the work of God. That's what marked this man Barnabas' life. He sought to promote that sweet, pleasant spirit wherever he went. Turn to some other incidents. Look at Acts 9 and verse 27, where it speaks of Saul, as he still is, named Saul of Tarsus. This man has just been saved on the Damascus Road. And everybody's afraid of him. Nobody wants to touch him. Even literally. And look at verse 27 of Acts 9. It says, "But Barnabas took him." The previous verse says that when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed or he tried to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Then it says, "But Barnabas took him." Man, notice this. Say before God today, "Lord, make me a Barnabas. Make me a son of consolation. When there's a helping hand needed, when there's an encouraging word needed, when there's someone whom I notice is down in the depths of despair or rejected by others, Lord, give me to be a Barnabas." Turn to Acts 15. Here you see another example of a man acceptable to his brethren. That was the petition that we noticed there. And you see it in Barnabas so well, acceptable to his brethren, man who that spirit about him. Look at Acts 15, verse 37. In many ways, this is a sad little passage. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now listen, and these are the saddest words I feel in the New Testament. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. That is Paul and Barnabas. The greatest missionary team split up. Now who was right and who was wrong? That's always been the debate among commentators. And I'm not going to try to solve it. But I will say this. Notice what it says at the end of verse 39. Barnabas took Mark and went on his way. Did Barnabas make a mistake? I think not. Because later on, the very man from whom he divided here, or maybe who divided from him, that is Paul, had to write in his very last letter and said, "Bring Mark, because Mark's profitable to me for the ministry." Paul had to change his tune. Great men make mistakes. Well, do you see this? When Mark was not wanted, Barnabas stepped in. Barnabas took him. Isn't it remarkable that those are the very same words that are used of Barnabas and Paul in Acts 9? But Barnabas took him. And now Barnabas again takes a man. That is John Mark. And again he proves himself to be a man who's got that sweet spirit. Not judgmental, not criticizing, not harsh, but a spirit that's compatible with the secret of his life. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. Turn back quickly to Deuteronomy and notice with me the next thought there. It says in that 24th verse, let him dip his foot in oil. And there, following on from what I've just said, you actually see the source of spiritual strength. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. How is it obtained? As we seek it in prayer. Why, how will it be marked? It'll be marked by acceptability and strength and sweetness among our people. And what's the source of it all? Let him dip his foot in oil. Oil in Scripture is a symbol of the Holy Ghost. Often we read of the head being anointed with oil. But why does it say here, let him dip his foot in oil? Simply to bring out the thought that here is a walk that's marked by the power of the Spirit of God, the foot. If you dip your foot in oil or any other liquid and walk, you leave a mark. You leave an imprint. Moses' prayer for Asher is that his foot will be dipped in oil. His prayer is that this man will have a spirit-filled walk and will make an imprint on society and on the whole of the work of God. Here is the source of spiritual strength. It is to have our feet dipped in oil, so to speak. And my friend, it is the power of the Holy Ghost filling us. And then quickly, look at the sign of spiritual strength. Verse 25, the opening word, so are thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. Now, iron and brass certainly speak of strength. And shoes of iron and brass remind us of military array. Brass in the Bible is associated with judgment. Iron is associated always with power. And when they speak here of the shoes of iron and brass, the idea is of God's people with strength in their lives to tread down the enemies of the gospel. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Let me tell you something. In the days that stretch out before us this year, we will need strength to tread down the lion and the adder and to trample the young lion and the dragon under our feet, as we read in Psalm 91. And we need what Paul says there in Romans 16, where he says, God shall bruise Satan shortly beneath your feet. Dear child of God, you need this spiritual strength this year. You need this power for every day to tread down the enemy. And here's the sign of it. Actually living in victory over the enemies of Christ and the enemies of your own soul. When you read here of the shoes of iron and brass, you will discover in Revelation 1:15 that the Lord's feet are like brass. And we see here again the thought of our union with Christ. It's because of our union with Him that we have any strength or power. That as our days, so we will be strong. It's because we're joined to Christ and therefore He imparts His strength to us. This is a spiritual strength, undoubtedly. But very quickly, just bear with me a moment or two as I close this message today, because our time has really run away with me. Notice here the features of this spiritual strength. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Think carefully of those words and notice that this strength that you and I need, that's obtained only from the Holy Spirit in our lives,
that we must have to leave a mark in the world and to overcome the enemy day by day. This strength is featured for us here in these remarkable words in a number of ways. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Notice that it is apportioned strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And the idea, therefore, is that whatever every day brings, so the strength will be given for that particular day. You see, our problem is we want strength for tomorrow or next week, but what we are promised only is strength for right now. God makes that promise here. This strength that's primarily spiritual, it's apportioned to God's people as they need it, but only a day at the time. It's appropriate strength. Because it says here, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so your strength will be. What is God saying? He's saying that according to the challenges of your days and the things that you will face, according to all that, so your strength is actually going to be suited. It's going to be appropriate. It's going to be, therefore, the very right thing for that day. Now, there are many needs that we're going to have during the year to come. We will need moral strength to fight off the temptations of the world and the corruption of this age. We will need mental strength to confront the pressures that we will face. We will need spiritual strength in order to keep on serving the Lord. We could go right on down through all the different kinds of strength that are needed by the people of God. And the Lord says that there is strength that's appropriate for every situation and every challenge and all that you will face during the year to come. And then notice this, it's abiding strength. It says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. We have no idea of the number of days that are left in our lives. We have a whole year stretching ahead of us. There may be people sitting here. Indeed, there's a preacher standing here. And I include myself in this. Some of us may not see the end of this year. You understand that? There were people sitting here a year ago. They're no longer with us. So we have no guarantee of how many days there are. But notice this. For whatever number of days the Lord may give us, there is strength. It is therefore abiding strength. It will never fail. It will never run out. It will never diminish. It will be there each day. And the reason for this is so clear, that days going by, time rolling on, does not affect the one who is the source of our strength. He is unchanging and unchangeable, and therefore what we need, He gives it to us, and that means that the strength that He gives is going to abide, is going to remain, is never going to fail you, child of God. Never. Look at Joshua chapter 14. And hear the great words there of old Caleb. And I say old Caleb because he's now an old man of 85 years of age. And this is what he tells us here. Joshua chapter 14 verse 11. He says, we'll just read the 10th verse as well. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. What can you write over that text? As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The strength that God gave Caleb 45 years before, he still had. Now at an old age. And he's still looking for the fulfillment of God's promise. As you find him saying in this very passage where he comes to a climax and he says to Joshua, "Now give me this mountain. I have been kept alive by God. He has strengthened me every day. My strength is just as potent and real as it was then." And he's talking about spiritual power right here, primarily. And he says, "I now want what God promised me. Now, Joshua, give me this mountain." And it wasn't that Joshua went and took it for him. What he really meant was, "Give me the permission to go and take it myself." And this old man, 85 years old, went and took Hebron, that very ground where he had walked and that God promised him. And he's waited all these years through delay and disappointment, time after time after time, but he had never lost the vision of God's promise, and thank God he had never lost the power that God gave him. Indeed, we actually here right now come full circle to what I said earlier. When I quoted from Psalm 92, "Here's a man in old age, and he's still bringing forth fruit, faithful to God, enjoying the blessing of God, confident in the power of God, drawing it from the Lord, taking what God has given him, entering into his possessions, enjoying what the Lord had set before him." Dear believer, let this be your ministry this year. That as your days are, you will prove the abiding strength of God for every day. And you will take your Hebrons, and you will trample down your enemies, and you will march forward, because as thy days, so thy strength will be. And I remind you as I close today, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. A people who wait upon the Lord. As their days, so shall their strength be. I have gone through this message today very rapidly because there's so much in it. I haven't done justice to that passage at all. But I trust that you will think and you will pray, and that as a church we will obtain the strength that we need and go on to enjoy greater things from God. Let's bow together in prayer. And may the Lord take his own word and write it on our minds, on our hearts. Let's all just bow together quietly in God's presence as we come to the end of our meeting. And may the Lord use his word in every believer's life. Father, we ask today that thou wilt use thy truth indeed. Oh, we commend our ways to thee, weak and helpless as we are, our little day fast receding, our strength diminishing as far as natural powers are concerned. But, O God, strengthen us with might in the inward man by Thy Spirit, and take us up and use us for Thy glory and for the praise of Thy great and gracious and holy name. Lord, abide with us now. Keep us this afternoon. Help us to glorify Thee in all our ways. Bring us back this evening and meet with us. We do beseech Thy name. Remember those that gather with us who are unsaved. Lord, deal with them and draw them to Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be with every child of God, both today and forever. Amen. Amen.